All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2015, and this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I played hooky yesterday, but it was nice. I got one of my only child-free weekends all year in 2015 this weekend, so it was nice to get to go out in the woods for a little bit and just chill out and enjoy myself. So I'm back, and no, I'm not ready. I'm never ready. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid every morning when I start the show. It is 40 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. I heard starting tomorrow, we are going to have the remnants of that Hurricane Patricia that came barrel-assing across Mexico and into Texas between Tuesday and Wednesday, but I don't think it's going to be major. You know, they were saying it. Did you hear with the hurricane how they were, oh, this is the worst storm ever. You know, notice we've talked about that so many times. Everything is the worst ever, never before seen. Oh my God, panic, panic, panic. And then, look, it didn't even do, they're like, oh, look, it didn't do a lot of damage at all to the Mexican tourist town. So who knows? I know people are saying it was all geoengineered and whatever. I would say take a good hard look at what the hell those three warm blobs are in the Pacific Ocean, because they still don't have a quote-unquote official explanation that they're publishing anywhere. But between that and the El Nino, at least in my book, that definitely explains how a Category 1 spun to a Category 5 in just 24 hours. And trust me, I watched that stuff. There was nothing on the radar, and the next day, bang, it was a Category 5. So that definitely was odd. But on the other hand, whatever they're doing to the Pacific, and I am certain it has something to do with Fukushima, remember, there are three missing cores out there. And they're going, we just don't know what's going on in the Pacific. You know, I mean, that right there has got to tell you something, but that is not what I'm going to talk about today. We are going to look at what we talked about on Friday and continue on from there. For the first cup of jewels, brain belief and mad science of becoming gods. Diabolical laughter follows. And yes, that was a pretty good title for that episode. We had talked about using all these new fangled technologies for medicine, and I thought it was pretty interesting, but it scares me because it's DARPA. And we know DARPA has been messing with light and sound and brain manipulation for a long time. Well, now they're working with light and sound and electrical shocks and magnets, finding ways to manipulate cells in the brain for cures. And I think, I don't remember. So much just blends between my awake and asleep. But I think we watched something. That, well, we read something that I talked about some of the pretty amazing cures that one of these agencies, and it wasn't DARPA, but it was potentially DARPA sprinkle funded, but they were having so much success that all these new startup biopharma, bio, whatever they called them, bio sound, bioacoustics companies were all starting up four new treatments. And last night, it reminds me, last night I watched a TEDx lecture. I have a friend who has cancer, and so I had caught the title of this lecture, and I don't even, I think I might have sent it to her husband. Hold on. Yeah, here it is. This was amazing. He actually, and I don't, I mean, I guess we could. I don't know how long this is. It was probably about 7 minutes. So I don't know. It's probably too long for us to listen to. But what was so amazing about it is that he is a college professor of music. And he got involved with the physicists and the cellular biologists because he had a hunch. And it was pretty amazing because what they did at his university, Skidmore College, I think it was, is where he's the director of musical technology. He got together with some of the other professors in other disciplines, and they used some of his ideas with focusing sound beams. Actually, we should play this because I'm telling you, actually, it's 17 minutes, but I am telling you, I sent this to my friend who has cancer because they show under a microscope, he shows the cells. They find out what the frequency is of those cells and what the frequency is that those cells shatter at, just like a glass. Like he was saying, when you see an operetta that can sing and the glass shatters, he says, what you don't notice is that they ding the glass before they do that, and they hear the resonant note. So when they hit that resonant note causes it to vibrate and fall apart. And I know this, like, I had all kinds of robot stories queued up today, but seriously, you guys should, I'm not even logged in over here. Let's check this out this morning, because I watched this last night. I was just in awe. And this is not DARPA mad science. This is a music professor working with some of his colleagues without world domination in mind. And they are killing all kinds of cancers with no medication. And they're not trying to brainwash you or completely hijack biology. They're just trying to help people live longer and healthier lives. And at the very end of this, actually, where he talks about children and how they could be in a room and they could just have this resonant frequency beaming into the room the whole time, the children would never even know that they were being treated for cancer. Of course, these would be children that, you know, today are in the children's ward of the cancer hospitals that tug at his heartstrings when he sees them and feels so sad for what they're going through. But compared to then, his motivation for the future where these children could be treated and not have any illness whatsoever. All right, hold on. Let's see if we can do this. I'm not quite sure. Oh, yeah. You know what? I cannot call in. I need to call me. Now, this will be a good setup. And I definitely want to share this with you guys. And if we don't get to all the stuff I wanted to talk about today, there's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So, but I don't remember my name. Uno momento, por favor. Here we go. And there we go. All right. I think it's working. All right. This gentleman's name is Anthony Hollins. And he is out of Skidmore College. Let me just hope this. I hope I have sound here. Hold on. I haven't played a video here in a while. Yeah, okay. He is associate professor and director of music technology at Skidmore College, president of Novo Biotronics, Inc. So apparently he started a company out of this, which is a 501c3 charitable and educational company. He discovered the ability of oscillating pulsed electric fields to destroy cancer cells and MRSA in laboratory experiments. Experts in custom digital electric design, synthesis, and analysis for biological effects members. He had Bioelectromechanic Society, the European Biomagnetics Association, and his postdoctoral work was in the Center for Computer Research in Music and Acoustics at Stanford University. Uh-oh. I did not know that he went to Stanford, but still, he definitely, to me, seems like he gets it. I don't know. I am somewhat gullible, but this guy did not exude one ounce of evil, at least in my personal opinion. All right, let me play this for you. So this is a few minutes, probably about 15 minutes, so we'll come back at 10:30 Eastern, and then we'll kick this off. Let me zoom.
Stage over.
So this is picking up on the technologies we talked about on Friday.
Usually I would be standing on this stage over here conducting the college orchestra because I'm a music professor. But tonight I'm going to talk about my moonlight activities in the field of science and how they led to a cancer research lab and an important breakthrough. Over the past 8 years, I've had the great pleasure of working with some brilliant and dedicated scientists. They were very open-minded, and we had a common dream that in the future, children would not have to suffer from cancer or from the terrible side effects of toxic drugs or radiation, because we believed there just had to be a better way. There had to be a better way, and we think we may have found it. A scientist said, "You're killing more cancer cells than as if you had used radiation." That same scientist went on, "If you had spent millions of dollars developing a new drug that killed this many cancer cells, it would be a home run." This was an astonishing thing to hear, especially for a music professor who had just completed his first experiments in a cancer lab. But we didn't use any radiation. We didn't use any drugs. So what did we do? I have here two identical tuning forks, both tuned to the note A, the note an orchestra tunes to. These forks are both made to vibrate 440 times per second. We say their frequency is 440 hertz. If I tap this fork, putting little pulses of energy into it, the second fork will also vibrate in sympathy. And if I silence this fork, we just may hear the other singing its tone. We say that I'm inducing a sympathetic resonant vibration in the second fork. It only works because both forks are tuned to the exact same frequency. Now, many of us have seen this very charming young man on the internet who shatters crystal glasses with his powerful voice. But if you watch him carefully, you'll see that first he taps the glass with his finger and listens. The glass sings its natural resonant pitch. Then he takes a deep breath and sings a loud, long note. He induces a resonant vibration in the crystal glass. The vibration grows larger and larger and larger until the glass is shattered. On the other end of the scale, we have a giant bridge made out of concrete and steel, a suspension bridge. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Cars and trucks and buses are going over it every day. And unfortunately, where they built this bridge, there was a steady wind blowing across it. And one day, this wind induces a small vibration in the bridge, hardly noticeable. But the frequency of the vibration matches the resonant frequency of some part of the bridge. And the vibration gets larger and larger and larger until the bridge collapses into the river below. A destructive resonant frequency. So on one end of the scale, we have a giant concrete and steel bridge destroyed by resonance. And on the other, we have a small crystal glass shattered. So maybe We could shatter something even smaller, something really small, something you would need a microscope to see. Maybe we could shatter a living microorganism. But to do that, you'd need some sort of theory to serve as a basis. And we find that basis in a wonderful book called The Rainbow and the Worm, The Physics of Organisms, by a scientist, Mei Wan Ho. And that book makes a very strong case that living organisms and cells are liquid crystals, or in the least, they have many properties of liquid crystals. Now, we're all familiar with liquid crystals because they are in our laptop computer screens, LCD display, liquid crystal display. And we can change the qualities of the liquid crystals in our computer screen by sending special electronic signals to it. We can change the color and the shape on the screen with these signals. So maybe we could change a biological living liquid crystal with a special electronic signal. But in order to do that, we would need some kind of device. So we searched the US patent database, and we find this invention by a physician, Dr. James Baer of Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called a resonant frequency therapy device, and its purpose is to induce a resonant vibration in a living organism or cell. And there are two really important things about this device. The first is that it uses a very special kind of antenna. They take a hollow glass sphere, they evacuate the air, they put in some helium gas, and when we send in our electronic signals, the helium gas lights up like a fluorescent light. An electrified gas is called a plasma. So this is called a plasma antenna. And it has many special properties uniquely suited for this kind of work. The second important aspect about Dr. Baer's invention is that the output always pulses. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. This is very important because when you're doing research on the effects of electromagnetic waves on living organisms and cells, if the signal is constantly on, you are in danger of inducing heat in those cells. And heat causes indiscriminate destruction. And we don't want that. We want targeted destruction. So we don't have to worry about heat. And now we go to the biology laboratory and we take Dr. Baer's device. And the hunt begins through a microscope for a frequency which will shatter a living microorganism. Now, we have a method of controlling Dr. Baer's device by an input control frequency. So if I put in, say, 100 hertz, out will come 100 pulses per second. If I put in 200 hertz, we'll get 200 pulses. So now we're searching for the magic frequency. And we start with 100 hertz, and we look through the microscope to see if anything's happening. We watch for 5 minutes. Nothing happens. So we try 101 hertz. We look through the scope for 5 minutes, and nothing happens. So we try 102, 103, and so on. Over the course of 15 months, we try hundreds and hundreds of frequencies, if not thousands, until we find the magic combination. The answer is you have to have two input frequencies, one low, one high, and the higher frequency must be 11 times the lower. It's what we musicians would call the 11th harmonic. When we add the 11th harmonic, we begin to shatter microorganisms like a crystal glass. These are the first videos taken. We showed these videos to our friends in the biology department. They said they hadn't seen anything quite like it. Seems to be a new phenomenon. These organisms are being shattered by our electronic signals. This is a harmless organism, almost friendly, a little blepharisma. And normally they're very fast swimmers, but when you approach a frequency to which they are vulnerable, they begin to slow down, then they stop, and then they begin to disintegrate within about 3 minutes. So now we know we can destroy a microorganism, and the question comes up, but can you target a specific organism with a specific frequency? So in this next video, you'll see a large organism in the center, a paramecium, undergoing disintegration, and swimming all around it, a tiny different organism, which is unharmed. If we're lucky, we'll also hear the audio as I narrate the experiment live in a noisy lab. Perhaps you can see the sort of fireworks effect happening in the growing blister to the right of the organism. And here comes a little neighbor wondering what's going on, who's testing. And you can see blisters forming now on the lower left quadrant and upper left quadrant. The shape is now changing. And a major explosion at the top. So now we have some evidence that we can target specific microorganisms with specific frequencies. And we make several more videos and we film the destruction of hundreds of microorganisms. And about this time, we meet a cancer researcher and we show them these videos. And this results in an invitation to spend 4 months in a cancer research lab trying to shatter cancer cells. This is our setup in the lab. You can see the microscope with cancer cells on it. Here's the plasma tube, and here is my little frequency control box. So first we attack pancreatic cancer. Take a good look at this slide, because the next one will look quite different. After we treat these cells, they change their shape and size, and they begin to grow long, rope-like structures out the sides. They look something like antennas. I call them bioantennas, for biological antennas. It's as if the cancer cells are trying to tune in to our signal. It also turns out this is the beginning of a process of destruction for cancer cells. We now know that cancer is vulnerable between the frequencies of 100,000 hertz and 300,000 hertz. So now we attack leukemia cells. Leukemia cell number one tries to grow a copy of itself, but the new cell is shattered into dozens of fragments and scattered across the slide. Leukemia cell number two then hyperinflates and also dies. Leukemia cell number three then tries to make another cancer cell. The new cell is shattered and the original cell dies. But killing a handful of leukemia cells is not enough for a patient. What kind of numbers can we do? In repeated controlled laboratory experiments, independently assayed by the two top experts, we killed an average of 25% to 42% of the leukemia cells, as high as 60%. They also determined that we slowed the growth rate of the cancer by as much as 65%, so a double effect. Now we attack ovarian cancer cells. This is a more distant shot. Here you see brackets coming up around the cells, showing groups of ovarian cancer cells which are being destroyed.
He's looking as these cells are dying. He's sitting there looking at the screen.
A great many ovarian cancer cells were destroyed. Now we attack pancreatic cancer once more. In the center of the screen is a clump of pancreatic cancer cells like a microtumor under the microscope. We turn on our electronic signals and the tumor shrinks and is broken up. The cells are disconnecting, disaggregating, the opposite of forming a tumor. And some of the cells are destroyed. In our most recent work, we attacked the deadly organism MRSA. MRSA is particularly dangerous because it's resistant to many common antibiotics. Thousands of people die every year from MRSA. They have drugs for it, but they have very toxic side effects. We found that our electronic signals could actually eliminate antibiotic resistance in MRSA. Then by adding a very small amount of a common antibiotic, we were able to kill MRSA and slow its growth rate. Since I was a 17-year-old high school student with twin interests in both music and science, I never imagined the two would come together in a cancer research lab. I now believe that the future cancer treatment rooms for children will be a very different place. It will be a pleasant place where children gather and make new friends. They probably won't even know they're sick. They'll draw pictures, color in their books, play with their toys, all the while unaware that above them are beautiful blue pinkish plasma lights emanating healing, pulsing electric fields, shattering their cancer painlessly and non-toxically, one cell at a time. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, talk about like dropping a bomb. And what gets me is that this was posted December 22nd, 2013. Some of the slides where he was showing their results and what had been independently verified were showing the dates of 2010. So these guys have been working on this at least 5 years. It sounds to me like they've been having incredible success. I dropped the video in chat. I'm going to put it into the notes of the show. I highly recommend that you watch it so you can see the cell cultures on under the microscope. It really, I mean, I was floored when I was watching this. We always knew that there was a connection with sound and that sound was a very powerful natural wave, but we didn't actually know what it could be used for yet. And like I said, we read those stories on Friday. There was the first one about electricity, lasers, sound waves, and magnets. And I mean, they've been messing with all this stuff, but what the mainstream is doing with this is, of course, using it to change beliefs or get rid of memories. I didn't see any of that DARPA research working on killing cancer cells. No, to kill cancer cells, they want you to put nanobots in your blood, right? They want you to take the RNAi switch flipping pill and allow some of this newfangled technology to cure the cancer. I mean, this is something as simple as sound waves. And did you hear him say, like, he was interested in music and science as a kid? It just, I can't even believe the success that they had. And I had someone very close to me die of pancreatic cancer a few years ago. And really, once you get it, I mean, there's not much of a hope and you go very fast and it was horrible. It was within like 2 months from being the person they were to being gone. I know someone now with ovarian cancer, and those are two very tough cancers that you need to get, and you need to get them fast. They typically don't have a lot of symptoms, and when they do, you're pretty far down the path, but they killed them all Leukemia, another one. I mean, Kevin went through all that leukemia treatment and it takes a very long time and you're never totally out of the woods with that. So I just was very hopeful after I saw that video. Hopefully nothing bad happens to this gentleman and this technology gets out there as a huge alternative to chemotherapy and drugs. I mean, there's not even any drugs involved in this. I want to see what the name of his company is. Novo Biotronics Inc. This is not for profit. So that might be something that we look up and we'll check out tomorrow. So, all right. I didn't want to get totally off the topic, but I definitely wanted to share that with you. And thought you might find it interesting. But now we're going to hop over to the brain. And we were talking about DARPA being able to remove and insert memories. They've been doing all this stuff with brain implants and chemical manipulation of the brain to be able to control soldiers. Right now it's mice, but future is soldiers. And tomorrow it's you and me. And you know what bothers me about this technology that the professor was just talking about is that I have no doubt in my mind that he's got a good heart. He is looking to do this for the right reasons. But it makes you wonder if all those cells, when they're exposed, and I think he said it was 1 million to 3 million hertz. I think that's what he said, or 100,000 to 300,000. I don't remember how many zeros were on it. But it causes the cells to shatter. But what worries me is when the evil ones get their hands on the technology, they already have sound cannons. What's going to happen when they hit the right frequency with a sound cannon? Is it going to become a disintegration beam? Just think about it. And when you watch the video, you literally see the cancer cells from a whole cell, all of a sudden the cell breaks into all these little pieces and then they just dissolve and disappear. I mean, could you imagine what that would do? And those were single-celled organisms. Could you imagine what that would do aimed with the sweet spot magic number, whatever the hertz is, to make a full biological organism fall apart? I mean, that would be really disgusting and it would probably be very effective. And what if it, I mean, I don't know, I need to dig more into this technology, but what if it started a chain reaction within your cells? You know, I really started to get scared when I thought about, like, how easy this is and how great it is that we could treat all these cancers just with different sound wavelengths. But then how horrifying and how easy would it be also to destroy non-cancerous biological life? And I'm going to second that. I mean, that's a pretty scary thought. So we should keep an eye on that. But anyway, let's now pop over to some of the stuff that's going on with the brain. Of course, you have we've talked about all the federal sprinkling money that's going all over for all these mad science. And one of them is the Brain Project. And the Brain Project is being studied not just in this country and at all these big universities and federal institutions and hospitals that are funded with the sprinkle money. But also, it's an international study. We have federal edicts behind it. The Brain Project is one of those inked. I think he might have done an executive order. The way moving forward, you know, all this 21st century medicine with big data and the genomics project and all the other crap, you know, our electronic medical health records. I mean, it's all the bioeconomy blueprint. It's all part of the same thing, turning you into the product way better than ever before. But we got to normalize all this stuff. Remember, you know, the nanobots in your blood, of course, if they came right out and said, hey, we're going to inject you with nanobots, the majority of the people would probably say, no way, Jose, take a walk, Chuck, unless, we've talked about this, unless they told you that they had the cure for cancer. They have the cure for cancer. You know what? That is the silver bullet. People are going to step right up and get in line, say, I'll be one of the first to be testing the cure for cancer. They don't necessarily tell them that it's nanobots in their blood. They just tell them they got a cure for cancer and then put the nanobots in their blood. But they have to manipulate the emotions, the understanding of what is being done in order to get buy-in. And just like now we have this, the head of the National Institute of Mental Health is now going to Google's Calico, and we have Obama hiring some sort of behavioral science insights person to help the American people buy in to what they're trying to sell us. You know that it is a psyop to get us all to buy in 21st century medicine. Let's be Buck Rogers, white room healthy. You know, this whole push, the UN coming out saying, oh, processed meats and red meats cause cancer. Yep. And people are like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't eat bacon. Well, first of all, bacon and salami and all that crap's been an issue for as long as I remember. But what I didn't see in any of those reports is them pointing out the fact that it's the nitrates and the nitrites. There are nitrate, nitrite-free bacons, deli meats, hot dogs, if you want a hot dog. Now, another story comes out, same day, about them finding human DNA in hot dogs and in vegetarian hot dogs. Whoops, there's actually meat and pork. And I know people are hemming and hawing and going, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Am I going to go vegetarian? But guys, we have talked and talked and talked about this UN agenda. Good old Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius. I don't talk about Codex too much. But they've been pushing for a long time that cow flatulence is the cause of global warming. They're not good for the environment. Oh my God, they use too much water, California. And since you're under a mega drought, maybe we shouldn't be growing cows. Well, let's cull them all. And they did. A lot of them. And you know what? Meat isn't a good way to get your nutrition. We got all these better things. And now that red meat's bad for you, maybe you really should be eating the more sustainable bug protein. We've been telling you. The UN has been showing you for years and years in videos how wonderful and nutritious it is. And if we put it into a 3D printer with all of our nutraceuticals, you will be a healthy, good little citizen. And by you being healthy, you're going to help bring the cost down for the rest of the populace. So you, by your bad food choices, bad lifestyle choices, you smoker, bacon-eating alcohol drinker, you are the ones responsible for causing all of these societal issues. Why we don't have money for social programs. I mean, seriously, this is what they're selling us. So be careful what you ask for. You know, all of the anti-vaxxers, I mentioned this before too, every time we had an outbreak and then they'd point out, they're like, look, the people who all got it, all got the vaccine, the vaccines don't work. Well, like I said at the time, careful what you ask for. So now what are they rolling out? RNA vaccines. Don't worry about it. We read a story actually where the CDC said, hey, you know what? This flu vaccine doesn't work, and probably a lot of these other ones don't. And yeah, we discovered that people are shedding virus after they get injected. We read that probably a month or two ago. There were two documents where it was buried deep down in, like, the press release, but they fully admitted they knew the shit didn't work. But like I said, don't worry about it. We got a new way to do it now. Wink. It's all about flipping switches on and off. There was another video I watched last night by this Australian doctor who what caught my attention was the title about being able to cure aging. Right. And that's kind of what Kurzweil and that whole transhumanist thing is about. This guy actually was doing it for his grandma, or so he says, but he spent many years and he worked over at MIT and they were messing around with RNA. And yeah, I mean, by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, Charlie, I don't know about that one. I like the sound guy much better. But anyway, all I'm saying is this precision medicine agenda that's happening is not just in the United States. This is a global thing. This is the new economy. You and me and Nana, and probably also our pets, you know, they're doing all kinds of stuff for pet medicine, pet health insurance. Spending money on your pets is a big thing. Of course, we read about that RNA vaccine for cats, for feral cats. One shot, that's all it takes. They become forever sterilized. We're going to start doing it to Pookie the kitty. Yeah, Pookie the kitty, the feral cat, just became the real-time guinea pig. So, you know, I know that there are wondrous things that look like they're happening, and I have to say, that first video we read, that Anthony Holland, that was extremely promising. But just be careful what you ask for. So anyway, to try to normalize this now to the American public and all this mad science going on, what do I see yesterday in my feed for National Geographic? We've talked about how there's been this bleeding between what's real and what's not. Television, reality TV, video games, augmented reality. So some of these newer generations really have a tough time being able to distinguish what's in the matrix and what's not. What's truth and what's fiction? Well, check this out. First, brain surgery aired live on American TV goes smoothly. Now, the last bastion of freedom, the very last one that they're trying to crack all the mysteries to is the brain. So we're going to televise live brain surgeries. You know, don't forget the future has to do with implantations or whatever, but we're going to air live brain surgery on TV. And what's it for? Well, something that a lot of the DARPA research is going into, Parkinson's disease. Yes, Parkinson's disease. We also discovered one of the ways to treat Parkinson's is to give them dopamine, because Parkinson's means you're not getting enough dopamine. Now, those of us who are all addicted to our devices, who's to say 30 years from now, we're not all going to end up with some sort of Parkinson-esque-like disease? As we're jonesing for our devices, or as we're jonesing for our dopamine fix, because we discovered that as you constantly push that dopamine button, not just with mobile devices, but video games, television, high fructose corn syrup, sex, cocaine, anything that's pleasurable, smoking, every time you push that button and you stimulate, you're going to require more the next time. Turns you into a junkie. Gambling, that's another one. Look it up. Dopamine is responsible for so many things. That's the dangling carrot. That is the chemical that they can use to manipulate you very easily. It's the reward system. Pavlovian. But one of these days, you know, the day the lights all go out, there's going to be a lot of people who are jonesing for dopamine, and they're going to have to find a thrill some way. And Parkinson's, just like Alzheimer's, seems to be epidemic proportions. So, hey, let's normalize it all. We can do brain surgery now live on TV. Look at how great it is. Look at how easy it is. Don't be afraid, Jenny. Come on. We got all this new technology. We want to try something. Let's read the story. A 49-year-old Ohio electrician has long suffered from Parkinson's disease, and he's recovering well from his Sunday evening brain surgery. the first ever televised live in the United States. I mean, talk about like Running Man with reality programming. I mean, of course, this one, they're not running and shooting them if they fall down. But I mean, live brain surgery, the dude could have died easy. This takes reality television to like the nth degree. The procedure can't be declared a success for several weeks or months, says Michael Okun, National Medical Director for the National Parkinson's Foundation. But the patient, Gregory Grindel, had surgery to what? Oh, implant electrodes that would deliver what is known as a deep brain stimulation. Yes, some of the stuff DARPA was working on, and I bet these were nano electrodes. Two parts of his brain that have been increasingly faulty since his diagnosis with Parkinson's a decade ago. Like, what would make a man step right up and decide that he's going to have his brain cut open on live TV? You know what? I think that's the same people that inked up for the Mars mission to go up and be a permanent reality TV participant as the first human colony on Mars. It's their second to fame. The procedure, a joint presentation of the National Geographic Channel and Mental Floss, went exactly as planned. Grindley was awake during the surgery so he could help guide the placement of the electrodes. Oh my God. And although surgeons needed to drill a hole in his skull to insert the wires, and we read about that, once inside the brain, there are no nerve endings. So that part of the procedure was not painful. Well, phew. The disease has left Grindley, a retired Navy chief petty officer, with tremors and rigidity in both hands and his face, as well as balance and speech issues. And he had to take medication every 2 hours to regain his mobility, but the side effects left him quivering uncontrollably. And I'm not saying that this isn't a horrible disease, but I'm saying be careful what you ask for. And they're trying to normalize this stuff. They put it on TV. They're like, look at how great it is. Let's get electrodes inserted in your brain. And this is the DARPA research. This was where they put that little electrode into the mouse's head, and they were controlling the brain drugs with a joystick, for God's sakes. This is it. So they've now moved beyond PTSD patients and cockroaches and moths to Parkinson's patients. You know, and it makes me wonder, was this FDA approved, or was this because it was on TV and the person inked their informed consent? Was this just fast-tracked as one of these, what we talked about, this 21st century medicine, which is going to make it direct biopharma to consumer without any regulatory agencies being involved? That I don't know. Anyway, Jonathan Miller led Grindley's surgery Sunday night at the University Hospital Case Medical Center in Cleveland, said that he hoped the procedure would get Grindley off of a medical roller coaster. At one point during the surgery, Grindley's tremor disappeared completely. "How do you feel right now?" asked the surgeon after turning the electrodes on for the first time. "Wow," Grindley replied from the operating table as he was able to move his hands without trembling for the first time in 10 years. "I never expected this at all." Now, again, this goes back to some of these stories that we did on Friday between electricity and sound waves and magnetics and being able to manipulate different parts of the body. But careful, careful what we're giving them access to. Because someday this stuff is not going to be voluntary. Once they've figured out all of the secrets of the human mind and the human body and biology in general, you know, the lunatics that are running the asylum now want to run the whole shebang. And it's not going to be about fixing your Parkinson's in the future. It's going to be getting your implant that's required because it keeps you docile. You know, we found out already by making cells light sensitive, they can use optogenetics to flash light at brain cells, let's say, and make them happy. Get rid of stress. Yes. I don't know, man. All I'm saying is mad science gone, man. I don't ever step up to this stuff with open arms and welcome it into my life. Always look at both sides and look at the agenda. All right. We're going to run out of time here. And I know I wanted you guys to hear that. I wanted you guys to hear that first story. But here, we'll go on and we'll continue here tomorrow. There were two stories that came out a few weeks ago. This one was out of Science Alert titled, "Scientists Develop a Psychic Robot That Can Predict Our Actions." Now, as they get far down the road in this brain project, and the brain project kind of dovetails into all of these simultaneous AI projects that are going on at large institutions and corporations, good old Kurzweil being the head of the one at Google. Once AI moves along the track, what do you think AI is doing? It's predicting what a human response would be. It's trying to mimic human brain patterns. Well, check this out. Scientists develop a psychic robot that can predict our actions. And what do they use to predict? Oh, algorithms. That's like the buzzword for 2015. All right, we're going to read the story. The robots are coming. They're taking our jobs and driving our cars. And soon they may even wage war on us. And you won't even believe it, but yesterday I had stories for all three of those. A so-called psychic robot has now been developed by bioengineers in the U.S. Not just engineers, bioengineers. Using a mathematical algorithm that can supposedly predict what we're about to do. Can you say Minority Report? The software doesn't actually read human minds per se, but it can reportedly calculate our intentions based on our previous activity, even if a particular action is interrupted. For example, you're reaching for something on your desk, but your hand collides with an unexpected obstacle that prevents you from grabbing it, and another person watching would be able to guess your intended motion and trajectory, but could a robot? Well, to test that theory, researchers at the University of Illinois in Chicago experimented with this very scenario, tracking and analyzing the movement of people's hands as they reach for an object on a virtual desk, but had their movement interrupted by an opposing force. They created an advanced algorithm that, much like a person, could calculate where the hands had intended to go. In essence, a kind of predictive software that can foresee physical actions and intentions based on what comes before it. I mean, that's almost like reasoning that they're starting to build in there. This is some scary stuff, guys. Once the machine can start predicting your next actions, you know what? If we just go about our daily life, let's say they turn this on to like be RoboCop or to be Skynet or whatever. I mean, we know there's so many crazy things that they're working on right now. But let's fast forward 5 years down the line. And we flip the switch on this algorithm. And we're being monitored, let's say. Well, you better be unpredictable. Because if you're trying to hide or you're trying to get away, being predictable, obviously, it's going to get you caught. Now, not to say you couldn't get caught by human sentries being predictable, but I'm just saying, once we give it on now to the supercomputing artificial intelligence, that is able to figure out what your next moves are going to be. This isn't a game. This absolutely is not a game. It says there are almost limitless theoretical applications, but another suitable area could be for smart prosthetics, people who experience tremors. The algorithm might be able to intuit your intended movements and reduce your physical shaping. Horwitz, the guy in charge of this project, says we call this a psychic robot. If you know how someone is moving and what the disturbance is, you can tell the underlying intent, which means that you could use an algorithm to design machines that could correct the course of, let's say, a swerving car or help a stroke patient with spasticity. And of course you could. Or you could track the insurgents running away from the 235-point facial recognition on the Sentry drones as it's identifying you, getting ready to kill you with its laser weapon or its disintegration sound cannon. I mean, those things are all part of our potential future. And I'm going to say that there's not too much doubt in my mind. Humans are warring creatures. This is not all being done for good. All right, guys. Well, guess what, man? That was a quick show. I shouldn't play half-hour clips at the beginning, but sorry. I thought that was pretty important. I wanted to share. It gave me chills. Well, make sure you stick around because today is Tuesday. So that means Mr. Kevin Blanche is live up next. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern, we have Game On with Mr. Ron Stevens. Our Interesting Times with Tim Kelly at 8, Primer Time Live with Michael and Nick at 9. Hopefully I turn my bumper back on. Geoengineering Watch with Dane Wigington at 10 and Antimedia Radio with S.M. Gibson at 11 p.m. Eastern. If my music doesn't go on, I'll have to sing. And I know how much you guys love when I sing. Yeah, I must not have turned it back on. Oh, I'm really late now. All right, guys, so make sure you have an awesome Tuesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.